If you were here last week, I talked about transformation. Transforming our own personal walk with Christ. Today I'd like to expound upon that, talk about the church as a whole. The parable of the talents is probably one we have all heard before. But how many of us have gone deep into the meaning of the parable? Each one of us has been given at least one gift to use. Some of you may have been blessed and received more. Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Now the master of this parable is Christ Jesus. Servants are us, Christians. When Christ ascended into heaven, he was as a man traveling to a faraway country. He has gone to heaven and will be there a while. Now two of the servants did as they were entrusted. As soon as the master was gone, they applied themselves and utilized their talents to double what was given them. Those that have so much work to do need to set about it quickly and not lose time. For the hour could be fast approaching when the master returns. At the time of the master's return, these two servants stood before him, giving him their account. What did the master say to these two servants? "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Now we got this other one, this third servant. He had the least amount entrusted to him. What did he do with his share? Remember, this is participation. He buried it. Why? Because his master was a hard man, reaping or harvesting where he did not sow and gathering where he had not scattered seed. He said, "I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground." Master replies, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I had not sown and gather where I had not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned I would have received it back with interest." Talent was taken away from him and given to whom? The one with 10 talents. What happened to the servant, the third servant? Because he was thinking only of himself and not of his obedience to his master, he was punished severely. Just like the vine that doesn't produce fruit, so shall it be with a servant who calls on the name of Jesus, but after receiving the call, doesn't take up his cross and follow him. Wicked, slothful, are two words used in the scripture. They are some of the harshest words that are written in scripture. To be considered wicked, considered the worst. Slothful, we don't have to go into slothful, do we? Today, I want to talk to you about the sin of idol worship, or the sin of going through the motions. According to Mr. Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language, worship means to adore, paying divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration, to perform acts of adoration, to perform religious services. Now, before anybody charges the pulpit, please let me finish what I have to say. We are here today, sitting on benches that we call pews, surrounded by a roof and walls and windows and doors. In other words, a building. That's all it really is. If for some reason this was destroyed, we would lose a place full of many memories and history. We had a miracle in this church in one of the back pews over there. One that I will never forget. We could rebuild it. But my point is this. It is what goes on inside these walls and windows and doors and roof that make this place special. This is where we are to lay it all on the line, lay it all out for God. Pay honor, praise, and reverence to our Lord and Savior. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am. Which of these three servants are we? Do we come to church free from all other thoughts and issues that will prevent us from completely worshiping our Savior Jesus Christ? Or are we more concerned with what's going to happen after the hour is up and what are we going to do? When you sing songs, the words go deep inside. They have meaning when you sing them. Now, two songs that you have chosen, How Great Thou Art. They have meaning. Songs we sing in praise and adoration of Christ have meaning, or is it just another thing that we do? And are we earnest in prayer during the service? Or do we bow our heads and hope the minister doesn't have a lot to pray about? Because you might fall asleep if it takes too long. Are we more apt to gossip about what people are wearing, about how they look with all the earrings and the body piercings and the tattoos, the hairstyle? Or are we thankful that they came to church today to worship with sinners like us? I said last week that the tongue is the most powerful muscle in the body, and that it can build people up or rip them to shreds. If you overheard this gossip, how would it make you feel? I am by no means an expert on the Bible, but I do have a variety of versions. I have the King James, the New King James, the New International Version, the New Revised Standard Version, the Holman Version, and I have yet to see, unlike Blue Mountain, a dress code in writing. But what I do know is that Jesus Christ spent a lot of time ministering to people who were deemed beneath the Pharisees and the common man. I do believe there was a woman, a Samaritan. That's pretty low if you're going to associate with them. But yet he did. So instead of saying, clothes the kids wear today, I just don't understand it. Instead, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, that the children have shown up today. And I will get back to that later. Would the service be different if Jesus the Christ walked in and sat down next to you? Would he know he was welcome? You believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Thank you. That wasn't very convincing either. Are you aware that in some churches, Bibles are no longer placed in the pews for the congregants? As the focus of the Christian church shifted from outward to inward, in other words, will we take care of our own? You know that more and more countries are sending missionaries to the United States because there is a need to spread news of the gospel. We will soon be the new missionary field. We can have the best programs. We have the best pastor, the best youth ministry, the best Sunday school, the best prayer ministry, women's ministry, choir. It doesn't mean anything if people aren't here. I understand if inside your head you're saying to yourself, he's speaking to the choir. Because I'm here just about every Sunday. Must be those people that show up only twice a year. Darn them. But it's not about adding people to a roster. It's about changing sinners' lives wherever. Has everyone read this or looked at this? I was curious. Now, granted, we are not Catholic. Schuylkill County loses 32 churches. St. Francis of Assisi in Minersville. Number of parishioners, 640. 640 people are on the roster. Why was it closed down? Were the 640 the casual? Or were they just there once or twice to meet the quota? Don't be like the third servant and confess, Lord, I knew my friends were lost in sin and didn't have you in their life. And I knew my church needed support, my financial help, my service and my talent. I knew that you died on the cross for the remission of sins and that you commissioned us to spread the gospel. But I hid my talent from you. Sin, vital worship. Matthew Broderick, Morgan Freeman, and Denzel Washington star in a movie called Glory. Civil War story about the 54th Massachusetts Regiment. Except for the officers, it's the first all-colored army. And I bring this up not as a history lesson, but because of something that struck me as I watched it. The Union is going to attack Fort Wagner. And they ask, who will lead the charge? Matthew Broderick's character says, 54th Massachusetts would be honored to go first. Now don't forget, this was at the time of slavery, so you knew the rebels that if they ever caught one of these men, they didn't stand a chance. But it was a chance for them to fight for something they believed in. Freedom. And as he goes to his troop and he says, we're going to lead the charge, he asks this question. And he points to the flag bearer and he says, if this man goes down, who is willing to carry the flag? Christ says, I will. If this man goes down, who is willing to carry the flag? I would like you to look around the room right now. While you're doing this, I want you to ask yourself this question. Where is the church going to be in 5 years? Or in 10 years? Or 20 years from now? Who will be here? I want you to also keep this, store that answer in the back of your mind for right now. I'm going to come back to that as well. What can we do? Matthew 5:14 through 16 says, you are a light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Luke 9:23-26 says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. We are called to be a light unto the world. The only way darkness can take over is if we do not let the light shine through us. Yes, there are a lot of things that we have to worry about today. And yes, there are so many distractions. Sports are scheduled on Sundays and all these other issues. But I say to you, who let it happen? We we may be asked to pay a high price for following Christ. Or we may be asked to do something we think is trivial, but that allows someone else to succeed. Each one of us is important for the health of this church. Each one of us can be a witness of God's love and to the peace that passes all understanding onto someone who is in need. Volunteer yourself and your time. Get involved in the church. We're always looking for consistory members, aren't we? Get involved in your community. Be a witness for Jesus. Invite someone to church. Not too many walk through the door on their own, but a lot more will come through if you hold their hand and bring them. Visit the sick. Love one another as Jesus loves us. Be transparent. Nothing will be given to you that you and Jesus can't handle together. Actually, just Jesus. I'm going to ask you today, if someone would falter, are you willing to pick up the flag and go forward? Lord, remind us often that you place specific people in our path, not as an inconvenience, but as an opportunity to bless us.